الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class we have begun reading in the 8th chapter. The author, he mentioned istikhamatu al-qalb, the uprightness of the heart and the steadfastness of the heart. And the author, he began with a narration collected by Imam Ahmad from the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, la yastaqimu imanu abdin hatta yastaqima qalbuhu, that a person's iman, his faith, will not be upright, steadfast, proper and good until his heart is upright, steadfast, proper and good. وَلَا يَسْتَقِيمُ قَلْبُهُ حَتَّى يَسْتَقِيمَ لِسَانُهُ, and his heart will never be upright, proper, and good, steadfast, meaning upon the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal, until his tongue is upright, and steadfast. وَلَا يَدْخُلُ رَجُلٌ الْجَنَّةَ لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ, and a man, he will not enter paradise if his neighbor is not safe from his ills, from his harms, from his ills, and from his harms. And likewise, the author, he mentioned, حفظه الله تعالى, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون. Mentioning the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the meaning of which is, and those who say our Lord is Allah, meaning they say that with their tongues and they believe it and mean it in their hearts, that Allah, he is their Lord, the one whom they worship alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, thumma istaqamu, and then they are steadfast and upright upon his obedience, inwardly and outwardly, in public and in private. The angels, they descend upon them, giving them glad tidings of paradise. Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu, do not fear, do not have any grief. Wa abshiru bil jannati allati kuntum tu'adun, and have glad tidings of the paradise that you were promised. Have glad tidings of the paradise that you were promised. Likewise, the author, he mentioned some benefits from the statements of Ibn Rajib, rahimahullahu ta'ala, clarifying a benefit from the narration of Anas Ibn Malik, radiyallahu anhu, that what is intended from a person's faith, his iman, will not be upright until his heart is upright, and his heart will not be upright until his tongue is upright. What is being referred to here are the actions, meaning the person's deeds, his life will not be upright, and will not be steadfast inwardly and outwardly upon the obedience of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until his heart is upright. And a person's heart will not be upright until their tongue is upright, because the tongue reflects that which is in the heart. So whenever the tongue is saying that which is good and refrains from saying that which is evil, and a person, he checks himself with the reins of the legislation, this is an indication that his heart is sound and that it's full of sincere faith. But whenever the tongue displays differently, contrary to the statements of faith and iman, this is an indication of a deficiency of the faith in the heart, according to the lowliness and the foulness of the statements of the tongue. And as well, the actions also reflect the reality of that which is in the heart. And also mentioned here in this narration, وَلَا يَدْخُلُ رَجُلٌ الْجَنَّةَ لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ, that a man, he will not enter paradise so long as his neighbor is not safe from his harms. Whenever the iman is sound and solid and deeply rooted in the heart, then it will be seen in the application. It will be seen in the conduct and the manners, and it will be seen in the statements and in the deeds. لَا يَسْتَقِيمُ إِمَانُ عَبْدٍ حَتَّى يَسْتَقِيمَ قَلْبُهُ وَلَا يَسْتَقِيمُ قَلْبُهُ حَتَّى يَسْتَقِيمَ لِسَانُهُ وَلَا يَدْخُلُ رَجُلٌ الْجَنَّةَ لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ. Likewise, in our previous class as well, we read the narration that the author, he mentioned, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, which is collected by Al-Hakim fi mustadrakihi, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And this was the point of our discussion whenever we closed the class. The statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, سَيُصِيبُ أُمَّتِي دَاءُ الْأُمَمِ دَاءُ الْأُمَمِ سَيُصِيبُ أُمَّتِي دَاءُ الْأُمَمِ, that the disease of the nations are going to befall my ummah. The disease of the nations is going to befall my ummah. فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, this time they said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا دَاءُ الْأُمَمِ, what is the disease of the nations? And what are you referring to here? sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I informed them, qala al-ashr wal-batar wal-takathur wal-tanajushu fi dunya wal-tabaghud wal-tahasud hatta yakuna al-baghi, hatta yakuna al-baghi. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified that the disease of the nations, what is intended here, is arrogance, vanity, rivalry for worldly gains, vying against one another in wealth, and mutual hatred and envy. Vying against one another in wealth, mutual hatred and envy until oppression spreads and it befalls the people. So this is the diseases that the Messenger he's referring to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, diseases of the heart. Diseases of the heart that whenever they befall the people, they corrupt them and destroy them. And they corrupt the relationships between the people and the society. That's tearing down the society and corrupting the lands and the people until oppression is widespread. And people violate the rights of others like they are nothing. Like they are nothing, with no fear for retribution or accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is because the love of the dunya has overcome their heart, and the lust for the worldly life has controlled their thoughts and their mind. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So we continue reading from where we left off. The author, he says, فَتَأَمَّلْ فِي هَذِهِ الْأَدْوَاءِ الْخَطِيرَةِ وَالْأَمْرَاضِ الْفَتَّاكَةِ. So you must reflect and ponder over these grave diseases and destructive ailments. فَكَمْ فَتَكَتْ بِأُمَّمٍ قَبَلَ أُمَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. How many nations before the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did they destroy? How many people and their nations they were destroyed in this manner? Because of the likes of these diseases of the heart. وَكَمْ أَوْرَدَتْهُمْ مِنْ مَوَادِدْ وَمَهَالِكْ وَكَمْ أَوْصَلَتْهُمْ إِلَى الْمَعَاطِبْ. And how many did they lead to ruin and destruction? And how many did they lead onto a foul path? وَيُخْبِرُ نَبِيُّنَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ أَنَّ تِلْكَ الْأَدْوَاءَ أَلَتِي أَصَابَتْ مَنْ قَبَلَنَا سَيُسِيبُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. And he mentioned صلى الله عليه وسلم, سَيُسِيبُ أُمَّتِي دَاءُ الْأُمَّمِ دَاءُ الْأُمَّمِ. And our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, also he mentioned as well that these diseases, they're going to afflict and befall his nation. Afflict and befall his nation. سَيُسِيبُ أُمَّتِي دَاءُ الْأُمَّمِ. That the disease of the nations will also afflict my ummah. Will also afflict my ummah. So here's where we left off. The author, he says, وَكُلُّ عَبْدٍ نَاصِحٍ لِنَفْسِهِ إِذَا سَمِعَ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ وَوَقَفَ مَوْقِفَ الْحَذَرِ مِنْ أَنْ يُصَابَ وَقَفَ مَوْقِفَ الْحَذَرِ مِنْ أَنْ يُصَابَ بِهَذِهِ الْأَدْوَاءِ الْعَظِيمَةِ الْمُعْطِيبَةِ بهذه الأدواء المعطيبة والأمراض المهلكة التي أخبر الصادق المصدوق صلى الله عليه وسلم أنها ستصيب هذه الأمة محذرا ومنذرا صلوات الله وسلامه وبركاته عليه. So every servant who is sincere to themselves upon hearing this narration, he should adopt a position of caution to avoid being afflicted by these destructive ailments, ruins, and ruinous diseases. And he should be cautious, the one that is aware of these diseases, and also that they're going to befall people from this ummah, one he should take precaution upon hearing this. One he should take precaution upon hearing this. And this is something which the truthful and the trustworthy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned would afflict this ummah. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned and admonished us. Cautioned and admonished us, invoking peace, blessings and salutations upon him. And he cautioned and admonished us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَجَمِيعُ هَذِهِ الْأَدْوَاءِ تَتَوَلَّدُ مِنَ التَّكَالُبِ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا وَالْإِفْتِتَانِ بِهَا وَبِزُخْرُفِهَا وَالْإِنْكِبَابِ عَلَيْهَا طَمَعًا فِي جَمْعِهَا طَمَعًا فِي جَمْعِهَا وَتَحْصِيلِهَا مَعَ غَفْلَةٍ أَمَّا خُلِقَ الْعَبْدُ لِأَجْلِهِ وَأُوجِدَ لِتَحْقِيقِهِ. And all of these ailments, they stem from an obsession with the worldly life, its allure, its beauty, and adornments, driven by greed to accumulate and attain it, while being heedless of the purpose for which the servant was created for, and the true wisdom and what he was brought into existence to fulfill. And the true wisdom, that why he was brought into existence to fulfill. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has created the human being the jinn and mankind to worship him alone, and has created this life as a means for the people to use to fulfill their purpose. So a wise person with sincere faith, he will benefit from the life around him and from the provision that Allah has provided to establish his purpose in life. But the losers and the failures and those who are deceived by this worldly life and by the whispers of the devil, وَلِيَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ, then they leave their purpose in life and they preoccupy themselves with that which has been created as a means. So the dunya and the worldly life is a means to establish the deen, to establish the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the aim and the goal. So the successful, they will realize that and they will take their provision from this worldly life, that which is lawful, as a means to reach their goal and their aim and establish their purpose in life, to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla and seek His pleasure and to draw near to Him tabaraka wa ta'ala in obedience and humble submission and obedience. But the deceived and the misguided, then they are overwhelmed with the worldly life and they turn away from their purpose in life and they preoccupy themselves and busy themselves with that which was created for them as a means. As a means. So they turned away from the purpose and busy themselves with the means. And this is their point of failure. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So the author now, he's clarifying some of these terms mentioned in this narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is intended from the disease of the nations. Al-Ashr, he says, the word Al-Ashr, Kufran, and Ni'am. The word Ashr, which means arrogance. It means ingratitude for blessings. Ingratitude for blessings. وَالْبَطَرْ تُغْيَانُ عِنْدَ وُجُودِهَا وَالْبَطَرْ تُغْيَانُ عِنْدَ وُجُودِهَا. And batar yani is vanity, excessive pride when possessing blessings. Yani, so to have arrogance. To have arrogance is in reality being ungrateful for the favors. Being ungrateful for the favors and blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. And having this vanity, this is going to excessive pride, transgressing the limits whenever one he does actually obtain some good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالتَّكَاثُرُ التَّكَاثُرُ, he says, حَفِيظُهُ اللَّهُ أَتَفَاخُرُ بِكَثْرَةِ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ التَّفَاخُرُ بِكَثْرَةِ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ التَّكَاثُرُ, يعني rivalry for worldly gains. التَّكَاثُرُ, يعني competing, competition for amassing worldly gains. He says here, it means boasting about having more wealth and children. Boasting about having more wealth and more children, more status, more rank, a higher diploma or a degree, or a better occupation, or more cars, or a bigger home, and the likes like this, or more children, or so on and so forth, from the worldly life. Even the takathur can be in knowledge likewise, whenever it's not proper. When a person is not sincere in holding knowledge, you will find them saying, I memorized this and I memorized that, and I studied this and I studied that, bragging about all the knowledge that he has collected, and just like it's something that you just gather and that you have a lot of an increase in it without any application. So even this could be considered blameworthy. Whenever a person is insincere, I memorized this and I memorized that, and I attended this and I attended that, and I have this diploma and I graduated from here, and this person praised me, so on and so forth. All just gathering worldly praise and position and rank with knowledge. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. Likewise, it's the كَاثُرُ يَكُونُ بِالْكُتُبِ. يعني gathering a lot of books, for example, with a foul intention just to have them. To have a lot of books. I have more books than you. My library is bigger than you. He doesn't read them. If you go to his library, you find the books are brand new pages. They're not even open, for example. All in the proper spot. And the likes like this. He doesn't purchase them with the intent to benefit from them, him or any else from the believer, but rather just to have a lot of books as display. So all of this is considered blameworthy. From التكاثر. التفاخر بكثرة الأموال بكثرة الأموال والأولاد. يعني this is to brag and to boast about having more wealth than children. And atanajushu fit dunya. Atanajushu fit dunya. This was boasting or having more wealth or worldly children, outbidding one another in worldly matters. And in addition to that, which is preceded. Atanajushu fit dunya. Atanajushu fit dunya. This is due to greed and competition for material things. And that they would compete and they would fight. And rival with one another in the worldly life. بسبب التكالب عليها والطمع فيها. التناجش في الدنيا بسبب التكالب عليها والطمع فيها. So the tanajus is due to greed and competition for material things. for material things. والتباغض, والتباغض, he says التعادي والتدابر والتقاطع. التباغض, it means التعادي والتدابر والتقاطع. This means having mutual hatred, enmity, and severing ties, having mutual hatred, التباغض, يعني having hatred and hard and ill feelings towards others, and enmity, and severing ties, and turning one's back on others. والتحاسد تمني زوال النعم عن الآخرين. والحاسد عدو لنعمة الله. And also التحاسد is wishing for the removal of blessings from others, and you're wishing that the blessings of others will be removed, wishing or hoping that the blessings and the good others have will be removed and lost, taken from them. And the envious person in reality is the enemy of Allah's blessings. يعني الحاسد عدو نعم الله. عدو لنعمة الله, لنعمة الله. So the envious person, he's the enemy of Allah's blessings. And this is from the interpretation of الحسد. تمني زوال النعمة عن الآخرين. To hope that the blessing will be removed from others. But in reality, this is a stage or a level from envy and jealousy, a level from hasid. And just to dislike the fact that others have blessings, this is considered hasid. This is the lowest level of al-hasid. هو كراهة النعمة للآخرين. That a person who dislikes to see others with blessings, if he sees others having blessings or having good in their worldly life or in their family and their health, their wealth and prosperity or in their religion and the likes like this, he will not like that. It will bother him. It will bother him, and he would dislike that others have more than him, or something he doesn't have, or even if they have anything, any good whatsoever. If this bothers him and he doesn't like this, this is because of al-hasid. This is because of al-hasid. If it takes root, then it will grow until a person, he will wish that is taken from the person. And just to dislike it in the first place is considered hasid. It's considered hasid, jealousy, envy. But greater than that, or more severe, whenever it takes root, a person, he will not only dislike that they have it, but he wish that it would be taken from them. He wished that they'll lose that blessing, that their car would be destroyed, or that their home would be lost, or that their child would be misguided, or that they would forget what they memorized, or that they would deviate and likes like that. They will start to wish that that person's blessings will be stripped from him, And also it can come to another level where they wish that it would transfer to him. He said, he doesn't need that, I deserve that more. He will wish that he would have it. And then the worst and the most severe of that, similar to what is talking here, similar to what is being referred to here, حتى يكون البغي. حتى يكون البغي, until transgression falls to people. يعني meaning until now it takes root in such a manner he'll start to work to remove those blessings himself from others. He'll start to work to remove those blessings from others. If you see students having great benefit and the likes like this, he's jealous, he will dislike that. And then pretty soon he will wish that that person did not have benefit or followers and the likes like this. And then after that he will wish he was sitting in his chair. And then after that, he will start spreading rumors or lies or the likes in order to remove that position, in order to turn the people away from him. And many times they do that, claiming that it is because of religious reasons. And this is from the worst of them. This is from the worst of them. In reality, is jealousy. And this person has an illness and disease in his heart, and is causing him and curing him to act in this foul and lowly manner. And it's foul enough that he's doing that, but to claim to do that in the name of the religion and out of ghira for the deen, this is even more lowly and more foul. So the Shaykh says, ثُمَّ يَتَوَلَّدُ مِنْ مَجْمُوعِ هَذِهِ الْأَدْوَاءِ وَقُوعُ الْبَغِي بِتَجَاوَزِ الْحَدِّ. And from this collection of diseases arises oppression, يعني البغي, oppression and transgressing the limits and the rights of others, which involves exceeding the limits, which involves exceeding the limit. بتجاوز الحد, يعني by transgressing and exceeding the limits. حتى إن الإنسان إذا استشرع فيه البغي لا يباري فربما أراق دما معصومة وحتك أمورا محرمة وتعدى على أموال محرمة دون مبالاة ولا خوف من Iqab. And whenever this person indulges in oppression, they become heedless and may spill innocent blood, violate sacred matters, and the rights of others, and transgress upon prohibited wealth, and honors without any concern or accountability or fear for punishment. Any meaning that the love for their worldly life will overcome him, that he doesn't even think about the affairs of the hereafter or the accountability in the hereafter. All he's doing is lusting and craving and hastening after that which is beloved to him, from possession and having position, and from the affairs of the worldly life. So the Shaykh, he says, إِنَّ الْوَاجِبَ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ يَحْرِصَ عَلَى السَّلَامَةِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَدْوَاءِ حِرْصًا أَشَدَّ مِنْ حِرْصِهِ عَلَى السَّلَامَةِ مِنْ أَدْوَاءِ الْبَدْنِ وَأَمْرَاضِهِ فَإِنَّ أَدْوَاءَ الْقُلُوبِ أَخْطَرُ وَمَغَبَّتُهَا وَسُوءُ عَقِبَتِهَا أَعْظَمُ. It is incumbent upon every Muslim to strive to be safe and free from these spiritual ailments with an even greater diligence than they would for safety from physical illnesses and diseases. So just as a person, he will strive to be healthy and safe and free from the physical ailments and diseases, one must strive even more and even in an even greater manner to be free from these diseases and ailments of the heart. From these diseases and the ailments of the heart. He says the diseases of the heart are far more dangerous, and their consequences and dire outcomes are far more severe. So he mentions, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ وَلْيُجَاهِدْ الْمَرْءُ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى السَّلَامَةِ قَلْبِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَدْوَاءِ الْمُعْطِبَةِ. And a person, he must strive hard to purify their heart from these destructive ailments. وَلْيَسْأَلْ رَبَّهُ وَمُولَاهُ أَنْ يُزَكِّيَ قَلْبَهُ وَأَنْ يُصْلِحَ نَفْسَهُ وَأَنْ يُؤْتِيَ نَفْسَهُ تَقْوَاهَا فَإِنَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى وَلِيُّهَا وَمَوْلَاهَا وَلَا عَاصِمَ وَلَا مُسَلِّمَ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَهْوَاءِ إِلَّا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ جَلَّ فِي عُلَاهُ. And a person, he must strive hard to purify his heart from the destructive ailments, to supplicate to their Lord and their Master to purify their heart, to rectify their soul, and to grant their soul its piety. For He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is its protector and sustainer. And there is no one who can protect or safeguard against these desires and inclinations except the Lord of the worlds, exalted in His majesty. Here the author, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he is referring back to a noble supplication from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that has preceded. Who remembers it? No. No? Aha, ahsant. Akmil. Anta? Khayru man? أحد ولي وأمولها اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. We took this before in our previous classes. Alhamdulillah, actually that's a portion of the narration. Who knows the whole narration? اللهم إني أعوذ بك من العجز والكسل وجبني والبخل والحرم ومن عذاب القبر. اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. He's referring here to this. This is وليجاهل المرء نفسه على سلامة قلبه من هذه الأدواء المعطبة وليسأل ربه ومولاه أن يزكي قلبه وأن يصلح نفسه وأن يؤتي نفسه تقواها. When you atiya nafsahu taqwaha, fa'innu tabaraka wa ta'ala waliyuha wa mulaha. A person must strive to purify their heart from these destructive ailments and diseases and supplicate to their Lord and Master to purify their heart and to rectify their soul and to grant it piety, for He, blessed and exalted, is its protector and sustainer. There is no one who can protect it or safeguard against these desires and inclinations except the Lord of the worlds, exalted in His majesty. Wala asima wala musallima من هذه الأهواء إلا رب العالمين جل في علا. Could be a reference also to another supplication, but إصلاح. اللهم أصلح لي ديني الذي هو عصمة أمري وأصلح لي دنياي التي فيها معاشي وأصلح لي آخرتي التي فيها معادي واجعل الحياة زيادة لي في كل خير والموت راحة لي من كل شر. Now these narrations have proceeded. So now he's referring us back to them. And meaning that, remember what we took before, we have to implement and apply that knowledge that we have been learning. As has proceeded, this knowledge here is all connected and related together. If you learned and apply that which you learned before, then the knowledge that's coming بإذن الله تعالى will be easy and beneficial, be facilitated and beneficial. But if a person, he learns and then forgets, or he learns and then neglects in the likes like this, then he is going to be, like they say, spinning his wheels. Spinning his wheels. And he's doing a lot of effort, but he's not going very far. He's not going very far. Maybe he'll finish the book and move to the next book, but the last book he doesn't remember anything from it, because he's just going, but he's not taking his time to learn and to benefit and to review and to apply. To learn and to benefit and to review and to apply. So the author says, وَقَدْ أَخْبَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي حَدِيثٍ آخَرٍ يُعَدُّ آيَةً أُخْرَ مِنْ آيَاتٍ النَّبُوَّةِ عَنِ الْوَقْتِ الَّذِي تَنْتَهِ فِيهِ تِلْكَ الْأَمْرَاضِ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in another narration, he that serves as yet another sign of prophethood. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, in another narration that serves as yet another sign of prophethood, informed about the time when these diseases will come to an end. So we see in the previous narration that we're discussing about da'ul umam, about the diseases of the nations, this was a sign of prophethood, because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed that this will befall the ummah, and it befell the ummah. He informed that this will befall the ummah, and it befell the ummah. And the ummah, after his death sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had great conquests. They had great conquests. And then as the spoils of war became great, and the kingdom and the empire of Islam began to spread, and they had great wealth, then eventually later this affair took hold, and arrogance and pride and envy and vying for worldly affairs and competing in the worldly life, it befell them. And then slowly they're divided until weakness came in their ranks, and the enemies of Islam took advantage of the situation and divided them even more, until we see the situation of the believers today. Until we see the situation of the believers today, and they continue to attempt to divide and divide and divide and divide the Muslim lands into smaller and smaller groups and factions, because it's much easier to deal with them in that manner. So pay attention. Learn the tawheed of your Lord and the sunnah of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the way of your role models from the noble companions radiallahu anhum and the scholars of hadith, and hold fast to that and be united. Hold fast to that and be united. So here is another narration that is yet another sign of prophethood for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an evidence in establishing that he informed also of the time when these diseases will come to an end. That he informed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also of the time that these diseases will come to an end. ففي صحيح مسلم من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال. And it has been connected in Sahih Muslim from the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Wallahi, لِيَنْزِلَنَّ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ حَكَمًا عَدْلًا حَكَمًا عَدْلًا. He said, I swear by Allah that the son of Maryam will descend as a just ruler. The son of Maryam, yani Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, لِيَنْزِلَنَّ بْنُ مَرْيَمَ حَكَمًا عَدْلًا. He said, I swear by Allah that the son of Maryam is going to descend. He come back onto the earth. He's going to descend as a just ruler. As a just ruler. فَلْيَكْسِرَنَّ الصَّلِيبَ وَلْيَقْتُلَنَّ الْخِنْزِيرَ. فَلْيَكْسِرَنَّ الصَّلِيبَ وَلْيَقْتُلَنَّ الْخِنْزِيرَ. He's going to break the cross, and he's going to kill the swine. He's going to kill the swine. وَلْيَضَعَنَّ الْجِزْيَ. وَلْيَضَعَنَّ الْجِزْيَ. And he's going to abolish the jizya. He's going to abolish the jizya, which is the taxes that the Christians and Jews, they pay for living under the authority and protection of the Muslim government. وَلَتَتْرُكَنَّ الْقِلَاسِ فَلَا يُسْعَى عَلَيْهَا. And the camels will be abandoned and no one will seek them. The camels will be abandoned and no one will seek them. وَلَتَذْهَبَنَّ الشَّحْنَاءُ وَالتَّبَاغُضُ وَالتَّحَاسُدُ. This is the shahid. Hatred, mutual enmity and envy will disappear. Hatred, mutual enmity and envy will disappear. وَلَا يَدْعُوَنَّ إِلَى الْمَالِ فَلَا يَقْبَلُهُ أَحَدٌ. The people will be called, invited to the wealth, but no one will accept it. No one will accept it. And he meaning because in this time he's going to descend, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's going to be a just ruler. And peace is going to spread through the lands. And the people will enter into Islam in entirety. And there's not going to be any poverty. And he's going to destroy the cross. And he's going to kill the pigs. And all of this is in disgrace for the Jews and the Christians. For the Jews and the Christians, clarifying that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he is the messenger of Allah. He's the messenger of Allah. And the Christians, they claim that he was God and raise him to a level beyond that, and he would destroy the cross that they deified. And likewise, they deemed the swine to be lawful, and they went to great extremes in that. Waliyadhu billah, they went to great extremes in eating the swine. Waliyadhu billah, and he's going to kill that and disgrace of them likewise. Whenever he had come to clarify the unlawfulness of these, of this affair. So this is a disgrace for them. And likewise, the jizya will cease. A person, he will not have an option except to follow the truth. And likewise, until the extent, and likewise, wealth and prosperity was spread to the extent they're not going to be worried about the camels, which is from the most precious wealth of the Arab. They're not going to worry about them or have to need to go after them. And some scholars mentioned that, meaning that even the workers that work for the zakat, they will not have to go after the zakat of the camels, because no one will accept the zakat. No one will accept the zakat because of the great prosperity that the people have found in these days. And the shahid will let habana ashahna'u wa tabagudu wa tahasud. And this enmity, hatred, a mutual enmity and envy, it will all disappear and go away. The Shaykh says, المال يصبح متوافرا لدى الجميع فتباغض الذي كان من أجل هذا المال والتحاسد والتناجش ونحو هذه الأسقام التي كانت لأجل المال تنتهي. So wealth will become abundant for everyone, and the enmity that was due to this wealth, along with envy and outbidding one another, such ailments caused by wealth will come to an end. Meaning everyone will have what they need from the dunya. Another interpretation likewise is also because the people in this time, they'll become completely preoccupied with the hereafter. They'll be completely engaged in preparing for the hereafter and seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they have certainty of the nearness of the day of resurrection. So the people at this time, they have turned away from the worldly life. So it's the worldly life that caused them to have enmity and hatred, and to cause them to have rancor and jealousy, and cause them to fight and to harm one another and the likes like this. So now these things will go away, because the reason or cause for that will go away. This is the point. He says, حفظه الله لأن المال أصبح متوافرا وزائدا حتى إن من عنده مال يريد أن يقدم صدقة أو زكاة فلا يجد أحدا يقبل منه. This is because wealth will become plentiful and excessive, to the point that someone who has wealth and wishes to give charity or zakat will not find anyone willing to accept it. He says, وَهَذَا يُوَضِّحُنَ الْأَمْوَالَ فِتْنَةً. So this clarifies that wealth is a tribulation. It's a trial and tribulation. فِتْنَةٌ لِمَنْ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمَالِ وَفِتْنَةٌ لِمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْتِهِ اللَّهُ الْمَالِ لَمْ يُؤْتِهِ اللَّهُ الْمَالِ. This is both for the one whom Allah has granted wealth for, and the one whom Allah did not grant wealth. And the one whom Allah has not granted wealth. Wealth is a fitna in any case. Wealth is a fitna, trial and tribulation in any case, for those who have it and for those who don't have it. وَكَمْ مِنْ إِنسَانٍ لَمْ يُوَفَّقْ وَكَمْ مِنْ إِنسَانٍ لَمْ يُوَفَّقْ فِي هَذَا الْإِمْتِحَانِ سَوَاءً مَنْ أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمَالِ أَوْ مَنْ لَمْ يُؤْتِهِ. And how many people fail in this test? How many people have failed in this test here? Whether they are those whom Allah has blessed with wealth or those whom Allah did not give them any wealth. Many people, they have failed in both cases, whether they are those who have obtained prosperity or those who are tried with adversity. It's a test in both situations, and many people, they have failed the test. لِأَنَّ هَذَا مُمْتَحَنٌ بِمَالِهِ وَهَذَا مُمْتَحَنٌ بِعَدِمِ وُجُودِ الْمَالِ. So this one with wealth is tested with his wealth, and the one without wealth is tested with its absence, and the fact that he doesn't have it. So both cases, it's a test for them. وَالدُّنْيَا دَارُ إِبْتِلَاءٍ وَامْتِحَانٍ. And the world is a place, an abode of trials and tribulations, an abode of tests, trials and tribulations. وَمُوَفَّقُ مِنْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مَنْ يَمْضِي فِي دُنْيَاهُ عَلَى الْاسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. And the truly successful among the servants of Allah are those who proceed through their worldly life with steadfastness and the obedience of Allah. or steadfastness in the obedience of Allah. The author, he says, وَقَدْ قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And the Prophet, he said, صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةٌ خَاضِرَةٌ. إِنَّ الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةٌ خَاضِرَةٌ. Indeed, the worldly life is حُلْوَ خَاضِرَةٌ. حُلْوَ and is sweet. خَاضِرَةٌ is green and fresh. It's green and fresh. Indeed, the worldly life is sweet, green and fresh. And this is the meaning of the translation. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُسْتَخْلِفُكُمْ فِيهَا. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُسْتَخْلِفُكُمْ فِيهَا فَيَنْظُرُ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah has appointed you as stewards in it. And Allah has set you this earth, giving you the authority in order to see how you will act. You need to see whether you obey Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or disobey Him. To see whether you will obey Him or see whether you will disobey Him. تبارك وتعالى فاتقوا الدنيا فاتقوا الدنيا واتقوا النساء. So therefore you must fear the worldly life and fear the women. And you fear, take precaution from the trials of the worldly life, and fear and take precaution from the trials of the dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created this worldly life and made it sweet and delightful and pleasant to the eye. Its enjoyments are sweet and delightful, and also with something pleasant to the eye. Pleasant to the eye. So there are great trials here. There are great trials here. This is the point here. الدنيا حلوة خاضرة. That is sweet. Its pleasures are sweet. And a person, he loves to take pleasure in it and enjoy himself in the delights of the worldly life. And likewise, it is delightful and pleasant to the eye, the glitter and the delight of this life. It is sweet to the taste and pleasant to the eye. And the souls, they are inclined towards it. And likewise as well, the worldly life is similar in another manner, and that it is sweet, but it doesn't last. And soon it will become bitter. And also it is fresh and delightful, but all of that will go away. But all of that will go away. So even the freshest of crops and the sweetest of delicacies, they do not last. They last for a period, and after that they shrivel up and wither and go away. And likewise, the worldly life. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُسْتَخْلِفُكُمْ فِيهَا. And Allah, He has set you in this life, in order to test you and to try you. فَيَنْظُرُ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. To look and see what you are going to do, meaning whether you obey Him or disobey Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah, He knows all things, tabaraka wa ta'ala. He knows what the people will do. But from the justice of Allah Azza wa Jalla is that He does not reward or recompense anyone based upon His eternal knowledge, but rather based upon the actions that people perform. Based upon the actions that the people perform. So Allah, He has eternal knowledge, absolute knowledge of all things. But the recompense from the reward and the punishment is related to the knowledge of that which is seen and brought into existence. And this is where a person is taken to account. So Allah, He knows what the people they will do. But He will not punish them nor reward them until they do what they do. Until they do what they do. So the punishment and the recompense, so the recompense of the reward and the punishment is based upon the knowledge of the existence of the actions after the people perform them. After the people perform them. So this is what is intended here. This is what is intended here. Of course, Allah, He knows what the people will do. He knows all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as for the recompense, then this is based upon the knowledge of the existence of that, whenever it occurs, and whenever it's known, and whenever it's established, and whenever it's performed. At this time, there will be a recompense for that action that is established and performed, whether it's good or whether it is bad. Whether it is good and whether it is bad. So Allah, He will not take the people to account and judge them, nor reward them except for the deeds that they perform. While He knows all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. While He knows all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the advice here, فَاتَّقُوا. If this is the case, the dunya is sweet, it's delicious and pleasurable, and it's fresh and nice and it's good, but it doesn't last. And Allah, He has placed us here in order to try us and test us to see will we obey Him or disobey Him. Will we believe in Him in the unseen and comply to His commands and follow His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Will we prefer our whims and desires and follow our lusts and the likes? Which one will we do? So the one who realizes it's a fear, فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا. فَاتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا. يعني فِتْنَةَ الدُّنْيَا. فِتْنَةَ الدُّنْيَا. يعني so you fear, take precaution from the dunya, يعني from the worldly life, meaning the trials of the worldly life. Do not be tried by the worldly life until it overcomes you and you lose your soul. Until it overcomes you and you lose your soul. وَلِيَذُ بِلَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَى. And fear the women likewise, because they have great trials as well. Because they have great trials as well. From the greatest trials of the dunya are the trials related to women. From the greatest trials of the dunya are the trials related to women. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ فِتْنَةِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ كَانَتْ فِي النِّسَاءِ. Because the first trials and tribulations that befell the children of Israel was with regards to women. Was with regards to women. So this life has been made delightful and pleasant to the eye, and great, and very desirous. The people that are inclined to partake in the joys and the glitter of this life for many things, for many aspects. But at the head of them are women. Any women. This is from the greatest pleasures and trials that will lead people to misguidance. Likewise, wealth and children and prosperity and property, all of these things, gold and silver, so on and so forth. All of these things are from the trials and the delights of this worldly life that if a person, he's not careful, it will overcome him and he'll be tried by them and it will lead him to the anger of Allah Azza wa Jalla. At the head of them, women. Allah, he mentioned in his book, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ, that it has been made beloved and dear to the people, the love of desires. The love of desires. This is something that is made dear in the hearts. The people, they love desires. This is from the test and from the trials. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. So at the head of these desires and lust that people are tried with and tried with loving them is women. So at the head of the trials of the worldly life that cause people to fall into great enmity and have hatred and rancor in their hearts because of, and likewise jealousy and envy and vying one another, is with regards to women. Is with regards to women. So the men, they must realize this affair, and likewise the women. And likewise the women. This is why the legislation has taken many preventive measures with regards to the trials and fitna of the women, from covering themselves and not being allowed to go out with perfume or to mix in the society with strange men or to be alone with him, so on and so forth, because of the great trials. So here we're ordered to fear, to take precaution and fear the worldly life, meaning fear the trials of the worldly life. Fear being tempted and tried by the worldly life till it causes you to sell your soul, to work for this worldly life and turn away from the hereafter. And fear the trials of women likewise. وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءِ وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةِ النِّسَاءِ. And he meaning likewise fear the women, take precaution from the women, meaning from the trials of the women, that there will be a means to lead you away from the straight path, to disobedience, to fall short in performing the obligations that are upon you. So these are from the means of deviation, being overcome by the desires and the whims and the lust of the worldly life, and the lust of the worldly life. So a person, he must have knowledge of these affairs. So a person, he must have knowledge of these affairs and the reality of these affairs. And then likewise, along with that, have strong determination to abide by that knowledge, to fight his soul whenever his desires call him to contradict the knowledge that he's been blessed with. Knowledge of the limits that were revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in establishing the obligations and avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions. So these shahawat that are beloved to the people, from women and from children, and from wealth, and gold and silver, and from property, from agriculture, and the likes like this, and so on and so forth. No doubt all of these things are desirable and beloved, but we're tried with them. And there are some aspects that are lawful and wholesome and good, and there are other aspects that are forbidden. Forbidden, foul, and lowly. So a person, he has to have knowledge to distinguish between these affairs. And then he has to have determination to suffice with that which is lawful and to avoid delving into that which is unlawful. And then also he has to have an extra amount of determination to not be overwhelmed by the lawful until it becomes his main concern and his main aim and his, that which he works for and that which he thinks about. Because this is what will cause him to eventually leave the halal and fall into the haram. And because he become overwhelmed with this affair. So a believer, one who's given success with knowledge, he will realize these affairs and witness them for what they are. And he'll realize his purpose in life and he'll know that he's tried. So there are delights in this life. Some of them are lawful and some of them are not. He has knowledge of this. He has knowledge that there's a Lord who's going to take into account, created him and brought him into existence. He's going to return back to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, he will work with this knowledge and he will strive upon faith and he will use these blessings and favors that he has from the worldly life around him to fulfill his main aim and his goal, to achieve his purpose in life and to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So anytime he comes up in the dunya, anytime he gets more wealth or property or prosperity or health and the likes like this, he'll use that as a provision to carry him on his path to the hereafter. He'll benefit from the money that he earns and from the wealth that he earns and from the children that he has and from the wives that he has and from the homes that he has and the cars that he has and the salary that he has or whatever good that he has from this world in life. He'll use that to fulfill his purpose in life. He will partake and enjoy in that which is lawful for him, praising and thanking Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will use that to seek the pleasure of Allah and to reach the home in the hereafter. So therefore, all of the good that he has obtained in this life becomes a means for him to reach the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this money, this wealth and prosperity, this health and goodness, this is all like a karama from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah's honoring him and blessing him and aiding him and facilitating for him the way to his pleasure. The way to his pleasure. But those who are deceived by this worldly life and they let these things take hold in their heart and then they start to strive and love them and lust for them and crave them, then now they'll be tried by them and they will use the wealth and the glitter of this worldly life and these pleasant things to fulfill their desires. And it would in reality be a means to lead them to the anger of Allah and to the hellfire. It will be a means in reality to lead them to the anger of Allah and the hellfire. They will follow their lusts and they'll chase their desires until they die in that manner wa liyadhu billah, transgressing the limits of Allah. Hatta yakuna baghyun. Or hatta yakuna al-baghy. Until it will be transgression, meaning tajawuz al-had. They'll transgress the limits. They'll transgress the rights of others and their honor and their reputation and their wealth and their life and their blood. Transgressing the limits of Allah Azza wa Jal, violating and not sufficing with that which is lawful, wholesome and good. They will go beyond that and take that which is forbidden, foul and lowly and the likes like this. They will not suffice until they die in that manner. So they'll follow their desires and they'll take pleasure in this life until that is a provision leading them to the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal and the foul and lowly death. And they found a lowly death. So these people, they didn't realize the true reality of this life and the reality of these desires and whims. And this is because of a lack of knowledge or because of a lack of determination. So in order to traverse upon the straight path, steadfast and swiftly in a good manner, a person, he must have knowledge, which is light and guidance. And he must have determination, likewise, strong determination to uphold the rights of that knowledge and to abide by the limits and to implement that knowledge in his life. And to translate that knowledge into application, to translate that knowledge into application until that knowledge is seen in his application. And the way that he walks is seen. He's a person of knowledge. And the way that he talks, and the way that he carries himself, the way that he moves, the way that he handles his business, his demeanor, his character, his conduct, all of this will be based upon knowledge. So it will be seen. It will be seen whenever he moves and advances, he does that upon knowledge. Whenever he withholds or refrains, he does that upon knowledge. Whenever he speaks, he does that upon knowledge. Whenever he's silent, he does that upon knowledge. Whenever he spends, he does that upon knowledge. Whenever he invests, he does that upon knowledge. Whenever he withholds, he does that upon knowledge. He's a person of the sunnah. And this is the reality of the people of the sunnah, that they're people of knowledge. That they're people of knowledge. They have the fundamentals of their religion and they work upon that with sincere faith. In this manner, the good of this life will become a means and provision for the hereafter. As for those who turn away from this knowledge or they are deceived by this worldly life or they have a lack of determination to uphold the rights of knowledge and the rights of the limits that have been prescribed and the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the pleasures that they take in this life are short-lived and they will turn into bitter pain and heartache, waliyadhu billah, very soon, because this life, it does not last. It does not last. After this, the author mentions a statement of Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, clarifying some benefits on how to perceive this life. Inshallah, we read these in our class to come. Inshallah, we read these in our class to come. If there's any comments or corrections or questions, we can take them while we're waiting for the iqamah. Why are women a cause to have envy and hatred in the hearts? Because Allah has created the human being with the desire for women, women are desirous and the human being loves to have women, loves to have women, loves the woman, loves to look at the woman, talk with the woman, conversate with the woman, have relationship with the woman. This is ingrained in the human being. So the people are tried with this. And because of this, they will vie with one another and they will hate one another and envy one another based upon that when it's not checked properly. Have that. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.